pleasing unto you, unto thee, and may we do all the things that you want us to do, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate it, fellas. Thank you. Thank you.
And you know you had the prayer for
that. 90%.
That's not 100% sure.
Good morning. It's time to begin our worship service. And as we begin, I'd like to welcome everybody, and especially if you're visiting with us for the first time or you're back from a previous visit, we're glad you're with us. It's good to be here this morning. It's great to be with God's people at any time, but good to be here this morning. We can worship our God, Spirit and truth. Our times of service, come together at 9:30 this morning for Bible class. And if you're not making the Bible class period, you're really missing out. Great teachers, great lessons, a lot of work being put in. Make an effort. Make an effort to come to the class, the classes, all ages. And again, on Wednesday night, we meet at 7 o'clock. We have another period of Bible study. We come together on Sunday evening at 6 p.m., except for this evening, we will be meeting in our homes in various groups. And if you're here visiting with us, we would invite, and if you're available and you'd like to join us, on the front page of the bulletin is a list of the various groups. just reach over to somebody next to you and say, where should I go? And they'll direct you accordingly. We'd love to have you join us. We're so thankful for all that are here and reminded of the reason why we're here is to worship God, to worship and serve Him according to His will, as He has purposed through His word. And that's all we claim to be, just simply people here in this location worshiping God, doing His will, nothing more and nothing less. And we're thankful that He has provided that for us. There's a number that are listed in our bulletin. Let's be mindful of the needs there, especially as we can pray for all our members that need care and other friends and family members. And perhaps there's some things that can be done in a physical way. Get involved. Let's help everybody that needs to be helped. Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has not left us wanting. He has provided for us all that we need to get home to heaven with Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for our relationship with You as our God, made possible through Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the love that was poured forth in You giving Him for us. We pray, Father, that the things that we engage in this morning as we worship You will glorify Your name and will help us, Father, in our faith. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So blessed to be up here today and with so much joy in my heart. Let's stand as we sing our praise to God. We will glorify in 578.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lord, Jehovah.
well with my soul. We have emotional needs. And a lot of us carry a lot of pain for us. And sometimes it's best to just say it's well with my soul. Maybe sometimes I don't understand, but approaching God and just giving Him our cares, everything to Him, He will provide for us. It will be well with your soul.
I ask you to please pray with me. Our magnificent Heavenly Father, we approach your throne as your children, thankful to know, to have full assurance and confidence in our hearts that one day our faith will be sight, and that we will realize the splendor and glory of heaven if we're found faithful, and that the trumpet will sound, and that you will call us home, and every knee shall bow, and we shall give an account for the things that we've done. We pray, Lord, that we've lived our lives and continue to show the light that is with Jesus within us, and that in our actions, in our words, in our motives, in the thoughts in our minds, and how we conduct ourselves, that others might see the love of God in us, the love of Jesus, and that we give all honor and glory to your name, because you are worthy of our praise, worthy because you are our God. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to find in our hearts and take the actions necessary that we can sing and be resolved in our hearts that all is well. And that, Lord, we do not have to wallow in sorrow, but realize that comfort comes from you in losing our brother Joel. And we pray that strength and that comfort that only comes from you in losing someone that we love and that we cherish. And it is well with our soul, Lord, because you are in control. And even the things that we do not understand, we realize they are according to your will. And in just a little while, this life will pass. We pray, Lord, that the trials and temptations and the storms that come our way, we would give them to you, because you are more than able to resolve those issues. And help us, Lord, with sin and temptation to look for the way of escape. And trials, show our perseverance and commitment to you and not be found to falter. And Lord, that we might say with full assurance, it is well with my soul. Lord, we realize how blessed we are that we have a family of brothers and sisters, that we are not alone in this fight. We are not alone to walk this life. We're not alone as we journey towards heaven. That hand in hand, arm in arm, we, Lord, would strengthen and build each other up and encourage each other as we see heaven approaching. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of each opportunity we have that we can serve each other, set an example for each other, and become intimately involved in one another's lives, that we would have a full effect on each other, but that others who come in and see might genuinely understand the love of the brethren. Genuine and fervent. And that they might be drawn to Jesus because of what they see in the relationships that we have with one another. And that those relationships are cultivated beyond these walls in our homes and opportunities to serve. We are blessed, Lord, because we have a leadership of men who've taken on the role as elders, that they would shepherd this flock and guide us and lead us. Help us, Lord, to live in such a way that we would submit ourselves to their judgment, and that their jobs would not be burdensome, and they would continue on with strength and good health, with joy. We realize, Lord, that in this congregation we are blessed that we have servants, whether they be teachers or preachers, or those who just cut out and prepare and laminate and do things to get ready for VBS, that each one has a part, and that the body might be whole, that those would be a word of encouragement, and those who just give a hug, and those who send a card or make a phone call or an email, that we all, Lord, might find our niche and our part to do, that the body might be whole, and that we never take for granted the impact we have on others, but also, Lord, realizing that we all make up the whole, each piece, each part. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins. And we realize, Lord, that it is without the blood of Jesus Christ we have no hope and no forgiveness. And that in our prayer for forgiveness, Lord, that we might yield fruit of repentance, that we might understand what we've done wrong and bring those to light, that we might repeat them no more, that we might be blameless and innocent children of God, that you would be eager to claim us as your own on that day. We pray, Lord, as we go through the service and we sing songs, we would with all of our heart and our soul and our mind, that our spirits would be lifted and you would know that we truly diligently long to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, as we hear the message that is preached, that we be attentive in our Bibles, make the appropriate application, and we leave stronger than we were today. We thank you, Lord, for each one's commitment to be here and pray that you would continue to bless us. Pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Glad to be part of this family. Take us to a place for just a couple minutes here. The Garden of Gethsemane. I'm going to read a couple verses here. He went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. A second time, he went away and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it." And a third time, he left them and he went away again. And he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Had a tough week and a tough, really last, 12, 18 months. Been a lot of prayers delivered by everyone here for many of those who have been sick. Some are not with us now. I know sometimes we feel like our prayers may not be heard. I felt that way many times, praying for the improved health of my brother Joel. Jesus went three times, and something happened between the first and second time. It was in his first prayer, he said, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he went a second time, and he said, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it. Something changed between those two prayers for Jesus. And you know, if last week we talked about why we come to this table, but we get to come to this table because that's not the way Jesus' prayers ended. It's the way I read them to you. But that's not the way they ended. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And his second prayer, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And then he goes for a third prayer, and he prays the same thing. Thank goodness Jesus' prayer did not end by asking for this cup to pass, but it ended by asking that God's will be done. And I'm thankful for that because I get to be here this morning because of that. Bow with me, please. Jesus, we come to you this morning. I come to you this morning, and I ask that you would allow my spirit to be strong enough that I will always say, your will be done in all my prayers, in every prayer. And I thank you, Jesus, for your prayer that you ask the Father for his will to be done. Because without that, we couldn't be here this morning partaking of this table, remembering you, and having hope to return home one day. We thank you, God, for your Son and for his sacrifice. We thank you for this bread that we take, the remembrance of your sacrifice, of your child, of your first, of your Son. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
pray with me, please. Our Lord, we are humbled by your greatness. You are in control of all things. Thank you for coming to this earth, for humbling yourself, submitting yourself to such physical pain and anguish, and then, as our brother just explained, putting aside his will to obey the will of the Father. So that we have hope. Father, we are so indebted. Our Lord Jesus and King, we are humbled because you were willing and are the ultimate sacrifice and shed your blood to cover us and give us eternity. Help us to meditate on the words that were said, to carry this message into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
concludes the Lord's Supper, and now we will lay aside this first day of the week, and if Corey would offer our offering prayer for us.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings you've given us. We pray that we will give with a pure heart, Father, and allow this to reach out and touch somebody that may not know the Lord. We pray that we can further spread the gospel, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
I was told before serving what the scripture serves read is you and I only know 44 does the following the book. If you can, I would like for everyone to sing, please. We are beautiful together, men and women together.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are my all in all.
I'll be reading from John 15, verse 1 through 6. And the Bible reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full, may be made full.
Good morning. Oh, there's a lot of things going on my screen up here. We have had a lot of things the last couple of years, and life will bring those times. And those times are sad. But it's our time to keep bearing fruit. It's not a time to ever quit. Because if we do not bear fruit, what happens? Get pruned. The man with the mask had the strongest voice. Isn't that amazing? But if he prunes us, well, we really don't get pruned. We get cut off and burned up. But if he prunes us, what will happen? Bear much fruit. And that's what we need to be doing. We've been doing a series about God wants us to be holy. He sent his Son so that we might be righteous. That we might be right, and it's only through his Son. And we looked at lessons that involved learning, first of all, that it's all about loving God above all else. If we're going to receive this righteousness, this gift of God, it's going to be because we love him above all else, and it's all about grace and gratitude. It's about the grace that he gave to send his Son, and it's the gratitude that drives us through love to come and accept that gift. And as we accept that gift, it will be seen as we love our neighbors as ourselves. And it won't just be loving and praying, it'll be doing. It'll be using our hands to help those who are lost, to help those who are needy, to serve our brethren. He has no hands but our hands. How many people have you seen fed that somebody didn't feed them? How many people have you seen helped that somebody didn't go and help them? It's because we will be God's hands and Christ's hands. And has God shown us how to help people in our lives? That's who Jesus is, isn't it? That's who Jesus is. He helps us to know how we ought to do. So we ought not to try to reinvent the wheel. We ought not to try, well, now here's how we serve our fellow man and love them. We have the perfect example. And we need to reach out. And what one person can do with Christ is amazing. And we've seen those kind of people in our lives, and we've seen those people here. It's because they have the passion of Christ that moves them to serve like Christ. And they value every soul. Every soul, it needs to be valued, whoever it is. And if we're going to be holy as He is holy, these things will be shown in our behavior. And we're willing to give up whatever it takes to follow in the steps of Jesus. Now, I've got to decide whether I'm going to be that kind of person or not. That's your decision, and that's my decision. We had my butterflies last week. But we are not conformed to this world. We're not going to try to figure this out. How much of our time have we spent in our lives trying to impress other people? How much time have we spent in our lives getting our worth by what we make or what we attain or how we look physically? And Jesus shows us none of that. There was nothing that we looked upon Him that we would be drawn to Him, even the prophet says. It wasn't the mules He owned. It wasn't the wardrobe He had. It wasn't even a second pair of shoes or a pillow. He showed us what God looks like. And He says, now you come and be the children of God. Well, that's like a worm turning to a butterfly. And that's what happens. And we talked about that last week. We die to ourselves in Christ Jesus. The old man dies. And then, excuse me, in Christ Jesus, we're raised up to a new life to walk in Christ. And then, you know, I said last week that it takes a while before they can fly. And they're vulnerable there, but they stay attached. And then later they can fly and go about their business. I got something choked on nothing. You ever done that? Now, what did I say about the life expectancy of a butterfly last week? 1 to 2 weeks. Now, they could live for months. Some of them can. Some of them can live for months. Some of them can live almost a year. But the life expectancy is 1 to 2 weeks. Why do you think that's so? There's a lot of dangers out there. When they get to flying around, everything in nature likes to eat a butterfly nearly. And people like to catch them, and that ends up killing them, I think. But anyway, or most of them, they live 1 to 2 weeks. There's a lot of dangers out there. And so, you know, we better just move. We just better get rid of that little slide there. I thought I'd get rid of it. There we go. And I want you to look up here. This, now I've added this. Jesus says, I am the vine. It dawned upon me as I started doing this that, you know, Jesus never tells us to fly away. When are we going to get to fly away when there'll be no more dangers? That's our faith in what happened to Joel, isn't it? He got to fly away. No more dangers, no more killing, no more Satan out there in the darkness trying to deceive, wreck, destroy. He can fly away to peace. That is perfect peace, never to know crying, never to know sorrow anymore. But until that comes, guess what? Our life expectancy at near eternity, is it? Most people, by the time they're 70, 80, 90 years old, they're worn out and ready to go. There's too much dangers in this world. And so many people leave this world very young. And we've experienced that in our congregation also. Man is born of woman. This world is full of trials and troubles. Is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. Our enemy is formidable. He's a serpent, as he's introduced in the very first of the Bible. He's the evil one. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. And there's many other things that could be said about him. But there is danger, danger. And we know what we're going to talk about starting next week is about the dangers that Satan presents to us. We need to understand that as we live. And while we're living, we need to stay close to that vine because our wings are not strong enough. They are still weak. They are still flimsy. Although we might try to be He-Man in this world, we might really try to show our own strength, but all of us are frail. And if we don't admit that, we don't even understand the human experience. He's even disguised as a light, an angel of light. It says in 2 Corinthians 14:11. You know, those lights get a lot of butterflies and bugs, don't they? They get trapped in the light. But don't think that Satan won't try light too. He'll try to show you a better way than the Lord's way. But what does it say in the verse that our brother read for us just a moment ago? Apart from me, you can do what? You can't fly, folks. You can't fly away yet. You can't fly. Now, if you want to try to get away from him and get off that vine and fly down here, you're going to have a week or two, and Satan's going to play with you, and he's going to destroy you, and you're going to be eaten up. And you know what? You're going to be flying around saying, look at me, look at me. How many butterflies said, look at me, plop, flat. You ever seen a big butterfly? You remember that? Oh, me, that yellow stuff that goes up the hood. You don't like that. That dries on. It takes a scrubber to get it off. That butterfly felt, oh, I'm glad I'm not on that leaf anymore. Well, you better stay on the vine. Because I'll tell you what, and we'll be talking about this, Satan will eat you alive if you don't. The key to this mindset is repentance. That's what repentance is. It brings you to say, not my will, but thine be done. As Larry mentioned for us in his reading at the Lord's table. Thayer defines it as to change one's mind to repent. It's not only to change your mind, it's to change your whole mindset. It's like, I've met somebody, and that's not how he used to think. Well, how did he used to think? He used to think like the world. He used to compare himself with the world. He used to let the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, that was what he was all about. But all of a sudden, he's got a whole new mindset. That's what it takes for our holiness to be received, to change one's mind for better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. That was wrong. New American Standard Greek Dictionary says, a fundamental and thorough change in the hearts of men from sin and toward God. Of course, the mind is what the heart is, the heart of man. Repentance, that's the key. We see it throughout the Bible. When John the Baptist came preaching, what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came preaching, what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Unless you change your mindset, that windshield and that light's going to get you. And it's going to destroy you. And you're going to fly around and you're going to be, people going to say, oh, you're beautiful. You got the colors of the rainbow. You just look beautiful. But you will die. You will die because your sin will take you to destruction. What did the disciples go preach? And they went about and preached that men should repent. I think the King James Version says there that all men should repent. We've all got to have a change of our mindset. Acts 2, the first gospel sermon, Peter said to them, "Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Faith and repentance are the keys to all this, friends. It's a sad thing that sometimes we just end up talking about baptism most of the time with people. You know, the real thing is faith and repentance, and then if you get to that, all the rest is, that's not hard to do. I've never seen a hard baptism, have you? I've seen a cold one. I've seen a heavy one. I've seen a little one, and I've seen a big one. But I've never seen a difficult one. But I've seen difficulty to come into faith. And I've seen the difficulty of changing your mindset. And I'm asking you today, if you want to be righteous, your mindset has got to be not of this world. Because your citizenship is not of this world. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be good citizens, we're not going to be good neighbors, we're going to be better neighbors. Because we're going to love every neighbor, everyone that everybody else says, "Ew, I hate that neighbor," we're going to love them. "Ooh, I'd hate to know that person," we're going to try to teach them. We're going to be the only people who's going to care about the unlovable people in this world. Boy, that's hard to say, though, isn't it? Is that what we truly do? Is that who we truly are? Do we really have people coming to us? Or are we drawing people like Jesus drew people? Oh, the real righteous people, they didn't come to Jesus who thought they were already righteous. It was the people who came that the righteous turned their nose up to. They thought they stunk. And they might have. I don't know. Another sermon in Acts. "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." What's the point of today's sermon? A whole new mindset in us going through this metamorphosis. It's not just a metamorphosis that we're talking about of a body. It's talking about the metamorphosis of the mind of man. To be controlled by Christ. "Therefore, having overlooked this time of ignorance." Why is that overlooking the time of ignorance? It's the Gentiles. What did God ever do special for the Gentiles? Well, they went off. They still had a moral law to attend to, but he didn't try to rescue the Gentiles. He did something special for the Jews. He kept calling them. He got prophet after prophet. I know he sent some prophets, and I know there was some Gentile work in the Old Testament, but not much of it. He just let them go their way. But now's a new day, as announced in Acts 17. "Now all men everywhere, the prophet has come to the Jew and the Gentile to call men to repentance." What's wrong with that? Y'all see anything wrong in that picture? Not plugged in. Thank you. How happy would you be with that light if you said, what about if somebody said, "You know what? I got this blooming light and it doesn't work." Hunter was riding with one of his brainiac medical students. He's not a brainiac medical student. He's just a medical student. But there's some brainiacs in that school. A nice guy, I know him. And he just says, "You know, my window, I've done everything. My windshield wiper doesn't work. I filled it up. I don't know what to do." And Hunter said, "Well, it might be." And he'd been having this problem for a long time. And he says, "I guess I'm going to have to take it in." And Hunter said, "Well, we might be a fuse or something, you know." And so he looked over there and he got looking at the, he said, "Let me see. Well, you know how you do like this and the wind things? Well, this one had a little button on the end of the thing, and you punch that little button." And guess, and Hunter went over and said, "Oh, I think I fixed it." He was so unhappy with his windshield washer, but he just didn't put the power to it. You got to turn on the power before the pump's going to run. You got to plug in to the power source if you're going to be lit up, if you're going to have light, if you're going to be happy with that lamp. Unplugged from a power source, not happy. Friends, I think that's what's wrong with mankind. Mankind is unplugged from its power source. That's what's wrong. People say, what's wrong with the world today? They're unplugged from the source that gives them power and life and righteousness and a hope. We've sorrowed greatly, and we've got more sorrow in our life if we're going to live long. We still got people, concerned as I can be about Bobby Ketchy. Richard Lewis needs another chemotherapy. His blood's so bad, they're not going to give it to him this week. But he's still planting a garden. He's living in hope, but his blood work isn't doing too well. The power source for us is Christ Jesus our Lord. Having fellowship with him. 1 John 1 and verse 3 says, what we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, that indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There's the power source. Fellowship with the Father and the Son. That's where the life is. That's where the power of forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb is. That's where you're renewing. You remember when we read Romans the 12th chapter last week? That by the renewing of your mind you may prove. That's how this metamorphosis happens. By the renewing of your mind you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Back to our reading. That's why you're going to say, oh, I don't have my little, should have left my butterflies up there. Still hooked to that, well, you're supposed to be a vine anyway instead of branch. But they had branches, didn't it? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Are you abiding in Christ Jesus today? Are you faithfully, lovingly abiding in Christ Jesus today? If you're not, you're missing some power in your life, aren't you? There's a dullness, there's an emptiness, there's a vacuum in your soul that hurts. Don't get away from your source. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. It's not that I'm abiding with him, in him, but he's abiding in me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ Jesus liveth in me. Guess what happens when that happens, when that relationship, that power is put together? Does it say that you will bear fruit? There's another word there, though, isn't there? Is there a difference in your mind when you hear this expression? You will bear fruit. You will bear much fruit. Is there a difference there? Does this sort of sounds like some nominal, oh, you'll bear some fruit. You know, sort of like if I was raising a garden, it'd be, Tommy, you'll bear some fruit. Richard, you bear much fruit. That'd be the difference. Because I don't have the soul and heart in a garden like Richard does. Are you plugged into the power source this morning? Christ in you and you in Christ? Do you understand that your vacuum is to be filled with Him, not this world, and that what He can do with you, as we started this lesson, is wonderful, because you will bear fruit. You will not hold your own and wonder. You will bear fruit, and it will be much. The problem will not be Him if that's not so. The problem will be me, because the power is there. He's given me a wonderful instrument to shine, but it's got to be plugged in and switched on. Well, what did he say in verse 6? If anyone does not abide in me, somebody says, well, it's very important, friends. If we don't abide in him, what will happen? We'll be cut off and cast into the fire. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Remember that. We abide in his words. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Let me just make a comment here, which I think is appropriate and must be made. John 14 through John 17 is Jesus talking to his apostles, his disciples. Much of what's in there has some general application that talks about all discipleship. Some things in there doesn't apply to all disciples. It applies to people who are going to be his apostles. And you got to read that chapter like that. And when I read this, that whatever you wish, then it'll be done for you, I think he's talking to those disciples as they were apostles. And then if you go to the 18th chapter of Matthew, right after he says, whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, he says, for where two or three of you are gathered in my name, there am I in your presence. One apostle could go bad like Judas. But the apostles had the Holy Spirit. They didn't have to think about when they prayed for the cause they had to be done. They could raise the dead. They could raise the sick. They could move them out. And I think some of this language, because it makes me think, you know, like Larry says, I prayed for Joel, why is he dead? Whatever you asked, now, it didn't mean whatever you asked that didn't pertain to their work. Paul, for instance, an apostle, asked that the thorn in his flesh be removed three times, but that wasn't God's will. But that whatever was in there, in God's will, in their work, in carrying the word to the world, they could be assured God would answer that. They would be successful. I believe there's a general application for all of us that God is for us and we ought to be praying about it, that his will be done. But what if those apostles didn't abide in Christ? If we don't abide in Christ, what blessing will we receive from this? Verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in his word. Abide in his love. This is my commandment. Love one another as I've loved you. How will that be if I love you like Christ loves me? I tell you what, I'm just going to give you one. This would be too hard. I'm just going to give you one assignment this week, okay? One assignment for one person. Because I don't think you can handle 2 or 50 or 200. I want you all to love Tommy like Jesus loves you this week. I'll make that your first assignment. Yeah. I mean, really, we got to do everybody, but you know that's hard to do. And we lose the power of what he's saying. Because it just looks overwhelming. But it's not misunderstood. You just start working on me and pick you somebody else next week. Because we've got to start somewhere of knowing. Some of you, I'm sure, don't like something about me, but go ahead and love me anyway. Greater love has no man to lay down his life for his friends. If I get in trouble, I call you. For you're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known to you. I think he said that to his disciples, but guess what? We've received it through the word that they wrote. We've received it through the word that they wrote to us. Fellowship with God. Take God's word. Let it change our mindset. But friends, I'm afraid sometimes, and I read stuff on computer, just think, I'm not sure if we're blessed by it. I really don't know. I love it, but I'm not sure it wasn't a curse to all men because of the filth of pornography that's on it. And that's the main cause, just the terrible stuff that is accessible that people are using it for. And the other thing is, sometimes we get a virtual life and we don't go out and help people who really need help. Our life gets separated from people and service. We need to know that we'll go out and we'll make a difference this world because this week because we're plugged into Christ. Now, if you're not plugged into the power source, you need to do that. We've talked about it. You need to believe and repent and be baptized today. Maybe some of you say, well, you know what, Tommy, I've done that, but I sure don't have the power. Let me tell you, repent and pray God for forgiveness. That's what was taught in Acts 8. That's what's taught in other places. Jesus says, you know, ask God to forgive us of our sins as we forgive others that sin against us. All we got to do is pick up the cord. I don't have one. I wish I'd have brought one. Scott or Adam would have had something up there and plugged in. But it's not complicated. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your children. It's not your employer. It's not your employee. It's your decision. It takes a change of mind. How long does it take to change your mind? I mean, I know it might take a long time for a person to ever do it, but when you actually change your mind, how long does it take? Boom! Wow! Just all of a sudden, pow! Why did I ever think that before? You can do that, and you can do it right now. Because there's not a power outage. We're just not connected. We just pulled the plug. And I ask you to come to Jesus today, and let's walk together serving him. Satan's going to get in our way. We're going to talk about it. But he can't overcome us if we are plugged into our Lord. If we can help you, come now as together we stand and sing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is God.
dismissed in our closing prayer. A few announcements for the congregation. One, for our visitors, certainly glad to have you here. I was mentioned earlier this morning, we're having our group meetings tonight, 6 o'clock. If you're going to be around or want to participate in one of those, see a member here. We can certainly get you to one of those gatherings. A few announcements here related to health and the like. Gabe Jackson has eye surgery tomorrow. Certainly keep him and the family in your prayers, and also the doctors that will be working on his eye. Prayers have been asked for the family of Ashley Mull, who was killed in a car accident this week, left behind a one-year-old and a five-year-old. Also, Hospice House has taken Jim Ridgeway for the week to give Pat some relief so she can go and see the grandchildren. He will come home Thursday, so obviously want to keep that family in our prayers as they still continue to struggle with some things, but this will be a respite, nice respite for Pat. Did mention